Hello, and welcome to our study for August 8th, 2023. Little children, it's 1852 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. Carl Jung said, loneliness does not come from having no people about one, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself, or from holding certain views which others find inadmissible. Loneliness does not come from having no people about one, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself, or from holding certain views which others find inadmissible. Very interesting statement. Lao Tzu said, if you lack faith, then existence does not believe in you. One of the Stephen King movies had a scene where a man said he didn't believe in God, and an older, wise woman said, that don't matter, son. He believes in you. Mark Twain said, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference. Our song for today is from Roy Orbison, from 1964, a song that also appeared and was the title also of the movie Pretty Woman in 1990, starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, which was a story of a young prostitute woman who met a wealthy man, and in the end, the wealthy man chose to accept the young woman as his bride-to-be, and so it was a very happy ending. Roy Orbison, from 1964. He died at the age of 52, by the way. But this song, Pretty Woman, in 1964 and 65 on the charts, was number one in 11 different charts around the world. One of them in the U.S. There don't seem to have been any other charts in the U.S. at the time. It was such a long time ago. And one of them in Canada, too. The RPM chart in Canada and the Billboard Hot 100 in the U.S. specifically. But the U.K. was also number one. And eight other places around the world, countries around the world. So let me see whether there were any duplicates. Yeah, only one in the Netherlands, although there were two charts in the Netherlands. So, and one in Belgium, although there were two charts there. It looks like eight other countries around the world, in addition to the ones mentioned, specifically the UK, the US, and Canada. So this is Roy Orbison singing. Well, I have to open the song. I had to restart this video because I forgot to turn the microphone on again. There we go. This is Roy Orbison singing Pretty Woman, 1964. Do we have it? No, we don't. I didn't start it.
The truth, no one could look at
Harbison. From 1964. And also from the movie in 1990 called Pretty Woman, starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. So, our article, we've got chapter 2, I mean paragraph 2 of chapter 4, after having read previously how I fell asleep at a traffic light and now, chapter 4, paragraph 2, this incident illustrates how we can get an unbalanced viewpoint at times, so we should try to remain humble. Especially when dealing with prophecy, there is a lack of authority in human reason or scientific assertions. Where such is true of prophecy, then even more so with messianic prophecy, does it seem to be highly advisable for us to remain humble and to resist quote-unquote forcing facts. The examples are too many to count where those seeking the fulfillment of Daniel's chapter 9, 24 to 27 prophecy have gone to great lengths. 9 verses 24 to 27 have gone to great lengths to find day exact or year exact dates that align with the 7, 62, 69, or 70 week parts of that prophecy, with less than convincing agreement. When we consider that this prophecy was not meant to be viewed as exact, and assume the, quote, half of the week, end quote, to apply to every endpoint for these periods, we found that the results obtained agreed as actually expected. This leads us to humbly accept our own interpretation and to also accept the Messiah as being Jesus Christ. Let us pray examine the civic dates that support this. That will be in a future study of the Born and Raised article. For now, we have our scripture for today from Proverbs, little ones. It's Proverbs 24 and 1. Do not be envious of bad men, and do not show yourself craving to get in with them. Probably not a scripture that's quoted very often. But then again, as we may soon see, there is an attempt by some people to sanitize everything and to avoid anything that may be construed as negative in any way. Those who may have in the past acknowledge the negative scriptures may suddenly change their tune when they're confronted with a person who speaks the truth from the scriptures, and they are put in a position where they must, in order to retain their authority, oppose that person. So they start to talk, tickling the ears of the listener instead of dealing the truth as it should be done, presenting it in a proper way. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to do 2 and 3 of the book of 2 Corinthians today, hopefully. For this is what I have decided for myself, not to come to you again in sadness, for if I make you sad, who indeed is there to cheer me except the one that is made sad by me? Now, by the way, in that recording by Roy Orbison, I don't think there was any distortion on the original copy, but the YouTube version that we just heard, there was a distortion at 2 minutes and 49 seconds, just to make a note there. And Paul continues writing to the Corinthians in his second letter. And so I wrote this very thing, that when I come I may not get sad because of those over whom I ought to rejoice. Because I have confidence in all of you that the joy I have is that of all of you. For out of much tribulation and anguish of heart I wrote you with many tears, not that you might be saddened, but that you might know the love that I have more especially for you. Now if anyone has caused sadness, He has saddened not me, but all of you to an extent. Talking about the man who committed adultery. Not to be too harsh in what I say. This rebuke given by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, now, you should kindly forgive and comfort him that somehow such a man may not be swallowed up by his being overly sad. Therefore, I exhort you to confirm your love for him. For to this end, also I write to ascertain the proof of you, whether you are obedient in all things. Anything you kindly forgive anyone, I do too. In fact, as for me, whatever I have kindly forgiven, if I have kindly forgiven anything, it has been for your sakes in Christ's sight, that we may not be overreached by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Now, when I arrived in Troas to declare the good news about the Christ, and a door was opened to me in the Lord, I got no relief in my spirit on account of not finding Titus, my brother. But I said goodbye to them and departed for Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in company with the Christ, and makes the odor of the knowledge of him perceptible through us in every place. For to God we are a sweet odor of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To the latter ones an odor issuing from death to death, to the former ones an odor issuing from life to life. And who is adequately qualified for these things? We are, for we are not peddlers of the word of God, as many men are, but as out of sincerity, yes, as sent by God, under God's view, in company with Christ, we are speaking. That's the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 3 continues. Are we starting again to recommend ourselves? Or do we, perhaps like some men, need letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter inscribed on our hearts and known and being read by all mankind, for you are shown to be a letter of Christ, written by us as ministers, inscribed not with ink, but with spirit of a living God, not on stone tablets, but on fleshly hearts on tablets, fleshly tablets on hearts. Now through the Christ, not on stone tablets, but on fleshly tablets on hearts. We are inscribed, right? Now through the Christ, we have this sort of confidence toward God. Not that we of ourselves are adequately qualified to reckon anything as issuing from ourselves, but our being adequately qualified issues from God, who has indeed adequately qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, not of a written code, but of spirit. For the written code condemns to death, but the spirit makes alive. See, the letter of the law, no one can keep the letter of the law. That's the problem with written laws. Nobody can keep it perfectly. And that's why the new covenant is superior, because it's not the letter of the law that counts. It's the spirit of the law. Moreover, if the code which administers death and which was engraved in letters in stones came about in a glory so that the sons of Israel could not gaze intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, a glory that was to be done away with, why should not the administering of the spirit be much more with glory? For if the code administering condemnation was glorious, much more does the administering of righteousness abound with glory. In fact, even that which has once been made glorious has been stripped of glory in this respect because of the glory that excels it. For if that which was to be done away with was brought in with glory, much more would that which remains be with glory. Therefore, as we have such a hope, we are using great freeness of speech, and not doing as when Moses would put a veil upon his face, that the sons of Israel might not gaze intently at the end of that which was to be done away with. But their mental powers were dulled, for to this present day the same veil remains unlifted at the reading of the old covenant, because it is done away with by means of Christ. In fact, down till today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their hearts. But when there is a turning to Jehovah, the veil is taken away. Now Jehovah is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Jehovah is, there is freedom. God is love. And all of us, while we with unveiled faces reflect like mirrors the glory of Jehovah, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, exactly as done by Jehovah, the Spirit. Now, please let us consider what love is really all about. We have in Hebrews 12 and 6 the following statement: for whom Jehovah loves, he disciplines. In fact, he scourges everyone whom he receives as a son. And the footnote to that is the reference from Proverbs 3 and 12, which was written beforehand and shows that the Hebrews 12 and 6 verse was quoting from this verse, chapter 3 and verse 12 of Proverbs in the Old Testament, where it says, because the one whom Jehovah loves, he reproves, even as a father does a son, in whom he finds pleasure. That is close enough to what is said in Hebrews, is it not? So we have, the book of Hebrews mentions Jesus and how Jesus was in fact the one Jehovah chose to be the chief agent of life. And as all the Greek scriptures in the New Testament also do, they advise us and inform us about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. The Christ, meaning Messiah, with the Greek word Christ being the same meaning as the Hebrew word Messiah, which just means the anointed one. So he was the one chosen by Jehovah. Jesus is what all of the Greek scriptures tell us, which were written as part, they're all part of the New Covenant. They're not. And of course, the other parts of the New Covenant would be the spirit of the Old Testament. That's also part of the New Covenant. But the letter of the law and the letter of all the prophets in the Old Testament are not part of the New Covenant in letter. It's in spirit. The New Covenant is by spirit. So even the New Testament that were Greek scriptures, they're also to be by spirit, not by the letter of the law. Or not by the letter of what they're saying. They're not to be interpreted literally or by letter. They're to be interpreted by the Spirit. That's the difference between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. The New Covenant was by Spirit. So we're now at the point where we're 13 minutes remaining in our study, but we could terminate early. I think I'll talk about something, maybe. I want to talk about something to do with certain doctors or healthcare workers who inform their patients of, or who attempt to force their patients, I should say, which they can't rightly do, but they may possibly attempt to force their patients to seek other health care in another field with which they're not familiar. And certainly a patient may be informed enough to refuse such a referral. And so those cannot possibly be taken as is binding upon the patient at all. The patient has no responsibility or no requirement to pursue health care of a variety which he has, you know, may determine or has determined to be unacceptable to him or her. So, and the one who's doing the referring is not knowledgeable enough about the branch of healthcare to which he or she is referring the patient to make such a referral with any kind of binding, force. There's no force. All they can do is suggest the that the patient have the option. They can, you know, advise the patient that they have the option to seek other forms of health care. That's all they can do. They can't require the patient or can't attempt to take responsibility for the patient's health care with regard to a field with which they themselves are not expert. So that's a very important concept. That means the patient must be respected when the patient chooses not to pursue a certain kind of health care. Especially when the patient is informed on the subject, such as when the patient has observed all the symptoms and has decided that the symptoms fit a particular branch of healthcare, but which branch, in fact, does not admit the patient for treatment because certain standard criteria are not met. And that is, you know, whatever those are, such as, you know, cold sensitivity in a tooth, being presented as in seeking a root canal, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, or not an x-ray that doesn't indicate enough infection, as well as another thing. But when the symptoms all are consistent with needing a root canal, and with none of the symptoms indicating the other discipline, you know, any other discipline of healthcare, not at all. You know, I mean, so while the other discipline of healthcare still might possibly be able to help, there's no indication that it will. So for a patient to be directed on a wild goose chase without his consent, that makes very little sense. So the patient must have the option to say no to any recommended or suggested. Shouldn't be recommended, because the person doing the suggesting is not qualified, right? They're not in that field. So they can't recommend that a certain branch of healthcare be consulted. But even if they are able to, which they are, of course, allowed to suggest the possibility of such treatment, they can't recommend it. And the patient always must be regarded as first and foremost, especially when the patient is informed. And of course, I mean, there's no way you can require somebody, even if they're not informed, to seek any form of health care, because it's all based on the patient. This idea of trying to conduct the healthcare system by trying to compel the patient to follow a path that is determined by the standard procedures of the healthcare system, that has to be abandoned. That has to be wrong. That can never be acceptable. Especially because the practitioners are generally doing it out of fear. They're only doing it because they're fearful that the patient will get in trouble because they didn't pursue a certain form of health care. And the patient is not obligated to assuage the fears of his practitioners. That's not at all what should be going on. Patients should feel no obligation to do that. That's not the requirement, or the obligation, I should say, of the patient. The patient needs to pursue what the patient believes, and his practitioner should be willing to listen to what his point of view is and respect it, if not accept it. It has to be respected. That is so vital. It's so critical. And I see this happening all the time. I've seen it all my life. Didn't identify it as such for all my life, but I identify it now as being that way. And also the doctor being unwilling to change their diagnosis when new symptoms appear, because the doctor doesn't want to admit to being wrong. Because then all their authority would be dissipated, and all their authority, they would lose all their authority, because, you know, if they can be wrong one time, that's their fear. If they could be wrong one time, then they would have no more ability to control the patient. But their job is not to control the patient, though. That's not their responsibility. It's not their it shouldn't be. If it is, it's not their obligation, and it's not their duty to control the patient. That's a complete wrong statement. It's wrong. You can't continue to refuse to make changes when the symptoms change. That's also wrong. So this whole healthcare system that I see, as I'm now seeing it, is completely corrupt, and it's been that way for years. And they're doing it because, of course, the more practitioners, the more experts they can refer a patient to, the more money can be obtained by the healthcare system too, by having that patient charged money. It's also a big corrupt commercial operation. It's huge. It's going to be huge. And it's a huge problem, because in my case, I can identify the need for a root canal, and I just developed further symptoms that indicate that. And I have no symptoms that indicate any infection in my body in any other way, such as a bone infection. And even though there could be still a bone infection that was asymptomatic, that didn't have symptoms, there's no reason to pursue that, because I do have symptoms that are all consistent. All these symptoms that I do have are consistent with needing a root canal, even though I may not have enough symptoms to satisfy the standard requirements of an endodontist. Now that I'm getting more symptoms, such as cold sensitivity, but only intermittent, that's some more evidence in favor of doing a root canal, but that may not necessarily satisfy an endodontist. And I'm in such a desperate condition health-wise that I need desperately urgent treatment. So I may have to get the tooth pulled if I can even find somebody to do it. Hopefully that's easier to find. But there are so many difficulties with regard to, and the fact is, my teeth are not as sensitive. They're very, they have a very low sensitivity to electrical stimulation, for example. All of my teeth, apparently. And that means they're less responsive or deader than average, so that they don't respond, even if maybe I do have an infected tooth. There's no response different, though, from the other teeth. Yeah, there wasn't. But that's a very unusual thing, I think. So because it's unusual, nobody can, using standard procedures, say that it needs a root canal. Even though I'm, you know, very close to being 100% convinced that I need a root canal, and even my dentist was of that opinion, and so were the other people in her office. But I mean, they were strongly convinced about it, so I don't know what we're going to do. I don't think I can get a root canal easily either, because I have a problem passing water that I have to pass it. I have a problem passing it when I do pass it, and when I have to pass it, I have no control. I'm incontinent, and it may only be sometimes an hour or an hour and a half, or maybe half an hour sometimes, or maybe 2 hours, that I can be continent at one time. There's a big uncertainty about that, so I'd have to wear a bladder outside, underneath my clothing, but outside my body, and you know that's not clear whether whether a particular practitioner would accept that or be prepared to carry out a procedure like a root canal under those conditions either. There are so many different problems. In my case, we're nearly at the end of our daily video. But I'm suffering a lot with headache. When I shake my head, I have a headache anyway. And I have very low fever, like 1 degree, half a degree actually. It's only half a degree today. Before today, it was less than that. So there was nothing, no fever. But I mean, so I don't have fever, but I've got confusion. I have other things like stumbling around because I don't have good control. I've got of my body, that is, I'm weak, you know, in that sense. And I have nausea, which is also attributable to needing a root canal. I think we're at the end of our study. Yes, we are. I mean, and the end of our weekly video, too. I mean, daily video, excuse me. August 8th, 2023, 1925 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you all. I love you so much, very much. And on my behalf, this is Phoebe and Annie saying bye for now.